Hello, my Raiders, Doomers, Last Crusaders, Scullies, and Dialers to Raiders Media. I am your host, Aristotle. We have so much to talk about this week with Indiana Jones 5 and a lot of other things, but mostly Indiana Jones 5. So put on your fedoras and crack those whips. So, ladies and gentlemen, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny has premiered in theaters as of June 30th, 2023. Is it great? Yes, absolutely. Are there things that could be fixed and or changed? Slightly. Yes. Because not all movies are perfect. Not at all, but I thought it was great. I saw it twice. I saw it on the 29th and I saw it on the 30th. It's great. First time was in digital, and second time was in IMAX. I recommend seeing Indiana Jones 5 in IMAX if they're still playing it in IMAX at this point. But regardless, it's still a great movie. It's better than Crystal Skull, that is for damn sure. But I'll tell you this much, the ending will have you in tears. If you're just as a big Indiana Jones fan as I am, you will be crying at the end of Indiana Jones 5. And no, Indy is not killed off. No. Lucasfilm knows, and Disney knows this, not to kill off Indiana Jones. Because that would not only irritate people and the fans, but it would just piss off the entire Indiana Jones fan base. And it would not be good. So, good for Lucasfilm and Disney for not killing off Indiana Jones. But I'm hoping that maybe we can get a short round series or some sort of show on Disney Plus. That would be fantastic. If Lucasfilm and Disney, if you are listening, I have a suggestion. Please, can we have a short round Disney Plus series with Kihi Kwan? Please. If we can have that, that'd be amazing. I would love to see him and Harrison Ford do a show together, Indiana Jones based. I don't care. Just something Indiana Jones related, because I personally think that Star Wars is the child of Disney right now and is heavily dominated by that. And I think Indiana Jones is underappreciated and needs a little more love, I think. But that's for Lucasfilm and Disney to decide. But that's my personal note to them if they ever find this episode or if they happen to listen to this segment of my podcast. Anyways, Indiana Jones 5, it's great. Go see it. It's fantastic. There's been so much good things I've been hearing about Indy 5. Oh, it's great. You know, and this is going to be a spoiler review because, like I said, you know, it's past the time to where Indiana Jones 5 has been out for quite some time. Let's say June, July. Yeah, it's been out for about August. Yeah, it's been out for about 3 months now. So I think it's time to do a spoiler review. So basically with Indiana Jones 5, it's amazing. It's great. But I think I'll do a spoiler review in the next segment. But my initial thoughts of Indiana Jones 5 in a nutshell is it's great. It's way better than Crystal Skull. And Harrison Ford really seemed to enjoy this last hurrah for his role as the world-famous globe-trotting archaeologist Indiana Jones. And I think he really enjoyed it. You know, we did have some new characters such as, you know, Toby Jones, Phoebe Waller-Bridge, I forgot the other person's name, some other people. I forgot the actors' names at the moment, but they're all a wonderful, great cast. I've seen behind the scenes and all that stuff like that, and it's absolutely amazing what they did, how they filmed it, how everything was, from the practical effects to the CGI, everything was fantastic. It was great. I loved every single bit of it. And yes, the ending, I cried so much because I was not expecting that. I was not expecting the ending for Indy 5 to go that way, but it did, and I'm glad that I watched it twice. I'm just hoping that whenever it goes on the streaming service, I will be watching it
over and over and over and over and over again. I'll be watching it numerous times because I've analyzed Indiana Jones 5 a couple times with different soundtracks, different references, and a lot of callbacks to the former past four films. Not former, but past four films. So it's a great movie. I'll give you that. It's great. It's wonderful. A lot of great Easter eggs, a lot of nostalgia, and just wow, there's a lot to unpack there. But yeah, those are my initial thoughts of Indiana Jones 5. But the next segment is going to be the spoiler review of Indiana Jones 5. But yeah, this is the first I actually will say, this is the first time I will say, this is the last time there will ever be any Indiana Jones 5 updates on this podcast, or at least with the movie, because for at least a whole year as of 2022, every single update I had posted on my Raiders Media Instagram and just posting every single week on how and what updates and where the filming locations and so forth and everything going on with Indiana Jones 5. But I will promise you this. I will always update on Indiana Jones anything, whether it's merchandise or another, I don't know, possible show. That would be great. Again, Short Round, Kiwi Kwan, Harrison Ford, Lucasfilm, Disney. Do it, please. So, yeah, those are my initial thoughts of Indiana Jones in general and in Indiana Jones 5. And that was Harrison Ford's last performance as Indiana Jones. But Harrison Ford, to me personally, will always be Indiana Jones. Yeah, sure, he was Han Solo, but it's Star Wars. That's a whole different discussion. You know what I mean? That's a whole different thing, whole different planet altogether, if you think about it. But I like Harrison Ford more as Indiana Jones because I may have not grown up with Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford in the 80s. I was born way after that. But the minute I saw Harrison Ford and I saw Indiana Jones, and I'm a huge history buff and I love history, and that's what made me to appreciate Indiana Jones. And of course, the vintage fashion with, you know, the fedora and everything else, his whole costume, just like, wow. I dressed up as Indiana Jones to the premiere on June 30th, where I live, to my local IMAX theater, and just it was just a whole experience that I've never had before. And I never, that was the first time I had ever been to, well, actually, I've ever been to a movie theater to watch Indiana Jones. I never got the chance to watch Indiana Jones in 2008 because I wasn't old enough at the time to go watch a movie by myself. You know, I was a kid back in 2008, so I grew up with that. But I digress. Indiana Jones has been a just an amazing journey for me and has got me through so many things going on in my life throughout. You know, I'm 23 years old, so I've got Indiana Jones and just everything around that has gotten me through just about all of the crazy things that have happened in my life. And I'm very grateful that not only the movie, but Harrison Ford as an actor and as a, you know, as a great person I would love to meet one day, you know, has gotten through me, has gotten so much great, just everything. And I have no words for that, but it's just a lot of things and just so many emotions with Indiana Jones 5. It's just wow, a lot of emotions. But yeah, this will be the last time I will say that is it for Indiana Jones 5 updates. But I also, again, will be talking more Indiana Jones 5 still, even if the movie has, you know, been out for some time. I'll still be talking about the movie itself and everything else Indiana Jones related and stuff. So yeah, those are my initial thoughts and my whole thought process of how Indiana Jones 5 was. So the next segment is going to be a spoiler review for Indiana Jones 5. So, this is a spoiler review for Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. But number one, and first and foremost, if you have yet to see Indiana Jones 5 in the theaters, Go watch it right now. It's still in theaters. If you look up at your local theaters, it's still playing. It may not be an IMAX, but go watch it anyway. Go buy yourself a ticket, go watch it, and then come back here. But if you have already seen Indiana Jones 5 more than once, then we're cool. But anyways, here is my spoiler review for Indiana Jones 5. Everything in pure detail from what I was able to soak in and what I found interesting, what, you know, positives, negatives, etc., etc., and Easter eggs and so forth will be covered. So, Indiana Jones 5. Let's see. With the opening sequence, it was different than what I expected. Because first of all, we get not only the Disney logo with the Disney 100 celebration that's going on right now. And surprisingly, we get a Paramount Mountain logo in there, which I am surprised because Paramount did not produce Indiana Jones 5. Disney and Lucasfilm did. So I was very surprised by that. But I was like, okay. So the Disney logo was first, and then the Paramount Mountain, which is very strange. But I'm like, okay, cool. But they didn't make Indiana Jones 5, so I was kind of confused. And then the Lucasfilm logo, of course, because it's Indiana Jones. Indiana Jones is under that company. And the Lucasfilm logo fades into some sort of like lock or something. And I'm like, okay. So it fades in and there's like a door that goes whoosh, like a huge double doors. Looks like a car door or something, or like a door to like a van or something. And the next thing you know, there's explosions. And I'm like, what's going on here? But the next thing you know, I see people dressed in Nazi SS uniforms. And I'm like, wait a minute, is this Indiana Jones? No way. I didn't think about it. But I'm like, you know what? It is Indiana Jones 5 because you know what? I recognized from the trailers, I saw it was the castle scene that they filmed. And that's where the explosions came because the minute I saw that, I was okay. So we get two Nazi troopers and they have somebody in I don't know if they have his hands tied to his back, and then they have a bag over the guy's or I don't know if it was who it was, but it was a person with a SS uniform, and they had a bullet hole through on the chest and through the chest and the back of the uniform. So I was like, oh wow, so somebody must have got shot, and then they disguised themselves to get in there, whatever. I'm thinking, you know what? That's probably most likely Indy. I wasn't sure, but I was probably thinking it's most likely Indy in disguise as he normally does. He did the same thing in Raiders when he was at the Nazi sub base. He did the same exact thing in Last Crusade when he was at the book burning ceremony in Berlin when he met, the small mustache man. So he's very notorious and known to be disguised as, be disguised in Nazi uniforms. So I'm like, you know what? That's got to be Harrison. Has to be. So next thing you know, they have a bag over the guy's head. They have his hands tied with a rope. And next thing you know, they're bringing him out from this truck. And there's like Germans everywhere. There's Nazis everywhere. They're running around, like running around everywhere. And they're like having boxes and all these. I'm like, what the hell's going on? Like, is like, obviously, you know, I'm getting, this is obviously during the end of World War II. And judging by the music tracks that released a few weeks before the movie had came out, there is the official soundtrack for Indiana Jones 5 by John Williams. Spoiler, John Williams is the maestro for the movie, which is amazing already. But what was it called, the music track for that? Music track. Germany 1944. That's what it was called. It was the Germany 1944 sequence that I had listened to, but I didn't listen to all of the soundtrack. I listened to bits and pieces of it, but it was Germany 1944 because the minute I saw that, I was like, okay. But the reason why I gave it away is not only the Nazi uniforms, but there was actually swastikas in the movie. I was like, wow. I'm like, I'm surprised. Because, yeah, it's not the 80s like Raiders of the Lost Ark and Last Crusade where nobody gives a shit about that. But I was very surprised that they had included that in there with, you know, how crazy our society is with stuff like that. I was very surprised by that. But I'm like, you know what? It makes sense. It's accurate. It's done deal. I felt like I was watching a George Lucas and Steven Spielberg movie with how I felt with that, with the jokes and the references and so forth. But anyways, going back to that, there's a guy with a bag on his head. There's two Nazi troopers or soldiers, whatever, bringing him to somewhere, and his bag over his head, and there's explosions. There's Nazis running all over the place, right? And the next thing you know, there's explosions, and there's a guy running with an MG42 on his shoulder. I'm like, dang, that must be a heavy... It must be heavy for a heavy gun like that. The guy is thrown onto the ground with the bag on his head still, and then we hear the da 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 da, which we hear that in the beginning or the opening sequence of that. And next thing you know, the music that John Williams scored beautifully is played, and the guy with the bag on his head is escorted when he's on the floor. They throw him and they pick him up, and he's escorted to a chair or something or whatever, and they bring him through, you know, a whole... There's traffic. There's foot traffic everywhere in the Nazi stronghold castle thing or castle, whatever. That place is, like, filled with just Nazis everywhere. Priceless artifacts, everything in boxes and crates, and just everything was everywhere. It was a mess. I'm like, wow, this place is in shambles. This is crazy. And the next thing you know, they throw the guy on the chair, and the next thing you know, they take off the bag off the guy's head, and it's, lo and behold, Harrison Ford himself. I'm like, oh my god, holy shit, that's Harrison Ford. But it wasn't Harrison. Well, it was Harrison Ford, but the de-aging technology was really good. They really had mastered that for Harrison Ford. And behind the scenes, they had said they had used some sort of, like, little, like, dot technology to pick up, you know, because in the Lucasfilm archives for Indiana Jones, in this particular discussion / spoiler review, they have archival footage of Harrison's face during his prime in the 80s. So they used his perfectly young face from any of those film prints and slapped it on old Harrison Ford. So I thought that was a really cool idea, and it's a cool concept. And with deepfakes, they're getting really good with that. Like, people get really creative, but it's a really scary thing too, because, you know, you never know. But it's great that they used that. It looked great. And then, you know, when they take it back off the head, you know, indie song plays, it's like, da 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 da. I'm like, oh shit, here we go. And then here comes the next scene where the head honcho or the head Nazi, which is played beautifully and fantastically by Tomas Krenchman. He was in, what was he in? I forgot what he was in, but I think he was in a Captain America movie. I don't know which one. I don't think it was Winter Soldier. I think it was the original Captain America he was in as well. Yeah, I think so. So we ask, you know, he basically asks him, why are you here? You know, spy, why are you here? And he says, and Harrison Ford says, you have a lot of nice stuff. You have a lot of nice stuff here. Everyone else's stuff. And Colonel Weber, which is played by Tomas Krenchman, says, to the victor belongs to the spoils, or something like that. And he says, and Indy says to Colonel Weber, the character, says, to the victor. And then he straightly insults him and pisses off Weber and says, to the victor. And he says, Indy says to him, and he goes on and says, to insult him and piss him off, says, Berlin is in rubble. The Fuhrer is in hiding. You lost. And I thought that was great. And the next thing you know, that kind of pissed off Weber a little bit. And he says, take him to the tower. And then he take him to the tower. And he says in German, take him to the tower. And he's like, wait, hold on a minute, guys, wait. And then We get another de-aged character, Mads Mikkelsen. I loved that character. I loved the whole actor himself. Mads Mikkelsen is great. He was in freaking in a Harry Potter movie. Grindelwald. He was Grindelwald in Harry Potter, which was amazing. That was fantastic. He was great in that. But he likes to play villains. Mads Mikkelsen has said this himself numerous times previously before Indiana Jones 5. He likes to play villains, and he does a great job playing villains, a wonderful job playing villains. So he says, hold on a minute, or something in German. There's English subtitles, but he says something in German, say, hold on a minute. And he says something about, he says, Colonel Weber is at least in German, any general or higher ranks of German military is there. That one in particular is called an Oberst or Oberst or Oberst. I'm not sure. I know there's something called an Oberstfuhrer and something else, but I'm not really well educated in German military ranks, at least in World War II. But I know they said Oberst a lot. They said Herr Oberst. Herr Oberst. Herr Oberst means colonel in German, I think. I don't know. I could be wrong, but that's just my translation, my poor translation. So they stop. Mads Mikkelsen, or the character he portrays in Indiana Jones 5, which is later on in the movie, still the same, the different character, but old. That character's name is Jørgen Vola. Or if you want to say it the English way or the American way, it's Jürgen Voller. But in German, it's pronounced Jørgen Vola. Jørgen Vola, right? And he asks to stop, look at a box. And the next thing you know, he opens the box and we get a bright light coming from the box. Like it's, whoa. Like it's like, that's like the Legend of Zelda. It's like, almost like that, but not really. But I kind of got the vibe from that. But the song that played during that, when he opens the box, it's like, what's the song? It's a Last Crusade track that plays in that sequence. When he opens the box, it goes da 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 da. And that was a great reference to The Last Crusade, which was when Indy had met with the Grail Knights, and when Donovan and Elsa had walked in right after Indy had talked to the Grail Knights. So I'm like, oh, that's a great reference. That's amazing. And then the next thing you know, they opens the crate and or box, whatever. And I see a sword. I'm like, what's the sword? And he says it's this. It's something called the longinus or something like that. It was basically the sword that stabbed. That was used to stab Jesus Christ on the cross when he was crucified. I'm like, oh, that's actually kind of cool. And apparently, if I'm not mistaken, I could be wrong, but a lot of people were making speculations on that small little sword or sword or something like that. I think it was a sword. It was a small miniature sword. Somebody had said it was a reference to a old Indiana Jones comic book called Indiana Jones and the Spear of Destiny. So I could be thinking that could be a mere coincidence or a direct reference to that. I'm not sure. But it makes sense because it talked about some sort of power, and Hitler wanted to use it as some sort of like thing to keep the war going and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, interesting. So Mads Mikkelsen's character Jørgen Vola looks at it, and then next thing you know, there's a big explosion from like a plane, because I think the Allies at this point, the British whoever, are on the Nazis' ass, and they're just destroying everything. They're bombing the castle. They're, you know, airplanes everywhere, fighter planes everywhere, you know, shooting and dropping bombs and all this crazy stuff. Next thing you know, the Colonel Weber is like, no, you're done. This is, but before that, Voller ducks down. Just, you know, there could be a bomb and they could be dead in like seconds. He puts his hand, his hand lands on the sword, and he feels it, and he says he gets a really bad feeling that it's not the real sword that stabbed, you know, that was used to stab Jesus Christ on the cross during the crucifixion. He has a feeling it's fake, that it's, you know, it's Frejon, as they said in the as he said in the movie, German says "Frejon," means I think that means fake in German. So he thinks it's fake because, you know, obviously it'll be later on it's not legitimate. So Weber closes the box and says, "That is all I need from you, doctor," whatever. And he says, and Roller tries to get his attention by saying, "Herobus," he's like, "No, don't worry about it." And the doctor just, you know, the doctor's like, "God damn it, this guy's an idiot." And it's basically, he finds out that the lance is fake, and it's not. And he's like, "Fuck, I gotta tell somebody. I gotta tell the colonel that this thing is fake." But he doesn't tell him until later on when they get to the amazing train scene, which I'll talk about in a minute here. Next thing you know, we pan away from Mads Mikkelsen, and another song plays when the box is closed. He closes the box, or the colonel closes the box, and another song plays when Last Crusade goes dun 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 dun. And that is strictly also from Last Crusade, which is when Indy is on the horse against a tank, against that tank with Vogel and with him and his dad. No, not him and his dad, but when Vogel has captured Indy's dad and Marcus in the tank. Oh my god, that's cool. I like that. And the next thing you know, he's saying "los, los, los" means "go, go, go" or whatever. "Let's go, let's go, let's go" in German. That means you gotta move it, move it, move it, move your ass, whatever. And yeah, next thing you know, the Germans have some dogs. The German shepherds are notorious for working with Nazis or Nazi dogs, so to speak. And next thing you know, we see, I forgot to mention this in the beginning, but we see Toby Jones' character, Basil Shaw. Or Baz, as Indy likes to call him, but Basil Shaw, and he's like, "Shit, I gotta go." And his cover is blown. Who he's gotta go? And the dogs are hot. The Nazi dogs are on his trail, and he's like, "Fuck, I'm screwed here," and he's gonna get captured. Next thing you know, the dogs are like barking up a storm, and you know Baz is just running for his life. It's like, "Shit, these dogs are gonna, you know, sniff me out. I'm gonna be captured here." And next thing you know, we leave that there, and we pan back to Indy, and we see all the cars coming in and stuff like that. And the next thing you know, the cars start coming in. There's a staff car, a ton of cars everywhere, and there's a motorcycle there, and there's just so much going on. There's so much to soak in, so much going on, right? And the next thing you know, Baz is captured, unfortunately. The dogs get him, and they don't kill him, but they capture him. And the two guys that capture him saying, "Herobest, Herobest, Herobest." And he turns around, Thomas Krenchmann, or Colonel Weber, turns around like, "Oh, who the hell is this guy? This short dude." Excuse me. And they said that they had captured this guy, and then they found, you know, he was with Indiana Jones. Or the America, he's like something with the Americana. And they said, "What do you want to do with him?" And they said, "You know what?" And the Colonel Weber says, "Put him in my carriage, or put him in the same train, in the same car, train car as me, or the carriage, so to speak, whatever." And next thing you know, Toby Jones or Basil says, "What is loss?" Basically, from what I understand, a rough translation means, "What's the problem here?" or "What's going on?" or something like that. Or what's the problem? Something like that. Or "What's it loss? What's it loss?" He says, "What's his loss?" or something like that. "What's the problem?" or something like that. I'm not sure. I'm not hugely fluent in German. Anyone in German would know what that is. Anyways, so we pan away from Basil being captured, and he gets put on the train. We pan back to Mads Mikkelsen, but he is not only just wearing a suit this time, he's wearing a whole suit with just obviously the party pin on his lapel, I noticed right away. And then he's wearing a fedora, huge rounded glasses, and a trench coat. I'm like, come on. There's no way that he is, you know, referencing the late Major Arnold Tote, or a.k.a. Ronald Lacey, great actor with Tote from Raiders. And I'm like, he's almost replicating what Tote wore in Raiders of the Lost Ark, because Tote wore the exact same thing. He wore a fedora, he wore a trench coat, he wore a suit, and he had glasses. So I'm like, there's no way that's a coincidence that he looks almost like Tote. Almost, not identically, but almost, you know, fashion-wise, he looks almost like Tote, because a lot of people in World War II, Germany, in that fact, a lot of Nazi Gestapo wore suits, or suits and trench coats, a lot. There's another movie that makes fun of that. It's called Jojo Rabbit, and it's hilarious, but it's not relevant, but the point is that the SS are very fashionable. As much as I hate them, and I hate their damn ideologies and their disgusting views, they knew how to dress. They knew how to dress. I'm like, wow, these guys are freaking decked out and everything, but that's irrelevant. But it's just a reference point that SS Gestapo wore a two-piece suit with a fedora, a pair of rounded glasses, and a trench coat. So I'm like, oh, okay, this is referencing, you know, Tote, which is interesting. So, anyways, we pan away from that, but Jürgen looks at the train, and then he looks at the longis, whatever, or the miniature sword / spear, and he sees the box. Like, oh, okay, I can, you know, get a chance to tell him again. And he looks at his suitcase. I'm like, oh, what's in the suitcase? I'm like, he looked at his suitcase, and we pan down to him holding the handle of the suitcase. I'm like, what does he have in the suitcase that could be so important? You know, I think, you know what, I'm going to keep an eye on that suitcase. It might be important. So next thing, we pan away from that, and, you know, Voller heads to the train. Then we pan over to the high tower where Indy's taken, and he's tied up. His hands are still tied, right? He's still in the Nazi disguise with the guys that are going to basically shoot him on spot, you know, aka a firing squad, and he has him on a noose. So I'm like, oh shit, they're gonna kill him. Oh, no way. I'm like, has Indiana Jones finally met his demise with Nazis? Are they finally gonna get to kill him? You know what I mean? And the next thing you know, they tie him up and stuff, and they put him on a chair before they kill him. One of them was tying him up, said, basically saying, tell us your story or die. And he says, okay, story, okay. And then, so basically, what he says, he pisses off the whole firing squad by saying, oh, once upon a time or whatever, and he says, oh, there was a village full of stupid blue-eyed boys who followed this guy or something and said they thought they would hold their hands together with some guy, some sweaty piper named Adolf, and the guy that's holding a gun to him gets pissed off, kicks the chair, and just, you know, not kills him, but looks like they'd kill him on the spot. Then it gets silent all of a sudden, and then go, boom, a bomb right there, did not explode on impact, because it landed on a carpet. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that bomb was supposed to explode, and everyone was like, holy crap, are we gonna die right now? Like, Indy and the firing squad were worried because they were gonna die. Indy was already was in the process of getting killed, but the carpet was slowly slipping towards that hole that the bomb made, and the bomb went dum, 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 dum. It went down all the way towards the bottom of the floor, or at least bottom level of that tower they were in. So they were all scared that he's like, no. And Indy was scared. And so the firing squad, like, shit, are we going to die? What? And next thing you know, it's quiet. But before that, there's another music track that plays. It goes like this. And that is from Crystal Skull. That is the part where they are playing, where they are in that giant thing of ants, the fire ants or whatever, the ants that eat people. That's that music track, as Crystal Skull Indy would say, Big Damn Ants. That's what it's called, Big Damn Ants. I'm like, oh, hey, it's another cool reference, another Indiana Jones reference, or song reference, it's great. And then next thing you know, the bomb goes, dun, 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 dun. It goes down, and it doesn't explode just yet, because the carpet is basically, you know, pushing it down and all that stuff. But next thing you know, it gets quiet for a minute, for about a minute or two. And then boom, the bomb explodes, and what looks like neutralizes everybody in that room, except for Indy, of course. Indy, for some reason, had survived that explosion, But this is a guy that not only had survived a thuggy cult surviving being gunned down or being shot at by Chinese gangsters in Shanghai, being shot at a bar in Nepal, so many other things, and of course surviving a nuclear blast in a goddamn refrigerator, which I have no idea why that was funny, but it was ridiculous, but it was just ridiculous but funny. So I'm like, if Indy can survive all that, I'm pretty sure he could survive a small bomb. And he did survive that, but he instead was swinging, and I'm like, shit, is he gonna die? No freaking way. And so, and then another song track that plays in there is da-na-na-na-na-na. That was from Temple of Doom as well. And then he finally rips off or the gets off, basically free himself, and he gets out of there, but the noose is still tied to his neck. I'm like, oh my god, get that stupid thing off of you. And when he gets out of the chair, it goes da 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 da. That is also from Temple of Doom, which is from when Indy is at Club Obi-Wan. And when he, like, you know, is at the club and he's poisoned and stuff like that. So I'm like, oh, that's another cool reference. And then next thing you know, he decided, you know, he gets up and slips. He's like, oh, shit. And he tried to get out of there, right? And he still has the noose. And then next thing you know, he's like, oh, my God, thank God. But the little stone pillar breaks. I'm like, oh, shit. And then he's swinging around, and then he gets on there. He's trying to get up and try not to fall to his death and try to not, you know, get himself killed, which he almost did by the firing squad, but he's trying to not get himself killed with the noose on his neck. So he kind of gets out of there, and he's fine. And then next thing you know, he landed on his back. I'm like, ooh, that's got to hurt. So he landed on his back, and next thing you know, the little pillar that was there with the weird statue thing starts to fall. I'm like, oh shit, he's gonna die. No. And the next thing you know, another soundtrack plays from there, a small one, a short one, but it's from it goes da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na- German mechanic. And then he's like, oh shit, it was going so fast. He's like, oh shit, I gotta get this rope off my neck. And next thing you know, he does get it off, and the thing plops to the floor and breaks, and just breaks in pieces. And if he's still in that noose, he would have died. And the next thing you know, he leans over, and he's like, oh shit, I almost died. And I'm like, oh dang, that's a long way down. So he's trying to find out how to get out of there and leave and just get out of there completely and go after the Nazi plunder train. Referenced by Helena Shaw later on in the movie. The next soundtrack that plays after that thing has the stone has dropped and fell to the ground. Another song from Last Crusade is really quick. It goes da 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 da. That's from Last Crusade, which was a direct reference to the boat scene in Last Crusade when Indy was had been caught by Coronado by stealing the cross of Panama hat guy, the Panama dude, and he tried stealing back the cross, and it was like, you know, da 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 da, and no, so that was a direct great reference to that. The next scene we pan out away from that, and the train is leaving, and Indy tries to get out of there, and Colonel Weber is interrogating Baz on asking, why are you here? And he says, something about in German, bombed, something about bombarded Griffin or something like that, which I think something with he said something about the bird's trajectory was changed due to the recent bombings or something, just to make up a BS, just to BS him and make an excuse for himself and to just save his tail, if that makes sense. So that way he doesn't give away his position and doesn't actually tell the head Nazi what exactly he's there for and so forth. But eventually he does squeeze him, metaphorically, the answer out of him to know what exactly what he's doing. So, yeah. So then we go pan from that. And then next thing you know, Indy is getting out of there, knocks on the window like this of a car, goes, and the next thing you know, he punches the other Nazi in the face and knocks him out cold. He's like, oh shit. And then he just throws him out and he tries to get it, he tries to leave. But the guy, the two guys that come in the car, like get in the car, are two Nazi head honchos. I'm like, oh shit, he's getting in trouble. And you know, they do the Heil Hitler thing and all that crap, and then the two Nazi generals get in the car and they tell him, okay, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, we gotta go now, or something, you know, los, 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 vaus, 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 or whatever, and they go, 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 schnell, schnell, whatever, and the other cars behind him, or the two motorcyclists, were flashing their lights, saying, let's go, let's go, let's go right now, we need to leave. And so obviously they, all the Nazi people, or Nazi personnel, were leaving the castle with all the stolen artifacts for the small mustache man. So apparently he needed all the priceless antiquities to save his ass, because, you know, obviously in 1944 he was losing the war and he needed just about anything, and he was desperate for just about anything they could use to keep this war going and to eventually win that war. So that is part one of the spoiler review. I'm not going to do it all in one sitting because that's going to be a lot, and I'm just going to split it up into parts. So there will be another segment with part two of the Germany 1944 sequence. So that is the first beginning of Indiana Jones 5, but the Germany 1944 sequence is absolutely fantastic. It's great throughout the entire sequence, but there is more to come, and there will be another segment with numerous parts for Germany 1944 along with the rest of the Indiana Jones 5 movie. That is going to wrap up this episode of Raiders Media. I know, and I do apologize, it is late and this is a short one once again, but I have not had time to record any other segment since I just got a new job about a month ago. So this was going to be a short one, but rest assured, next week's episode, or the next episode, is going to be a little bit longer in length, and there will be the usual segments and topics. So that's going to wrap up this week's episode for Raiders Media. I am so sorry it was so short. I just haven't had time to sit down. I've been working my butt off like the last month and a half, and I haven't had time to sit down and do anything, or at least record for Raiders Media, so my apologies. But rest assured, once I am able to get a steady time to actually sit down and do more episodes, they will not be late and will be on time. I can promise you that. So, with that being said, thank you for listening to this week's episode. I hope you guys enjoyed the first part of the spoiler review for The Dial of Destiny, which will be continued in the next episode and carried over to that next episode. If you want to follow Raiders Media to keep up with updates with Indiana Jones and everything else in the Indiana Jones universe, cosplay community, etc., etc., follow the Raiders Media official Instagram at RaidersMedia1936. If you want to contact me for a possible interview or just hang out and talk about Indiana Jones, I'm all down for that. You can contact me via email at aristoty1999@gmail.com. Or if you're one of my regular listeners that already has me added on social media, such as TikTok, Facebook, or Instagram, please feel free to DM me or shoot me a message, and we'll get everything set up for you. Also, if you want to support the podcast and want to treat yourself or your friends to some Indiana Jones merch, I highly recommend it. I have a Raiders Media official merch store. It's a TeePublic, and the username is DrJones36. And there you can choose from different products such as T-shirts, tote bags. I don't remember at this very second, but I know there's T-shirts, there's buttons, there's stickers. There's so much cool stuff to look at and to see. So if you want to support the podcast, go over there and check that out. The website, again, is called TeePublic, and the username for that, which is with the podcast, is called DrJones36. And that would be great if you support the podcast. That'd be amazing. So thank you so much for listening. If adventure has a name, it must be Indiana Jones. Thanks for listening.